right, so we finished up the 2023 year with the very last weekly deploy episode where I would challenge people to deploy into the work week. That is no longer a thing. We also finished up with the very last The Breach podcast episode. And we are starting the very first deploy podcast episode, which will be airing the first Monday and the third Monday of every month as we deploy into the month and continue the deployment into the second half of the month. And as we all know, Christmas was last week, and some of the guys at my church did a podcast talking about the significance of lights. They even did like a Christmas light judging thing, and I thought that was pretty cool. But I'd been working on this episode little by little since November, and when I knew there were going to be many changes in Charlie Mike, I started making those changes, but these guys beat me to the punch. But fortunately, I have some things they did not talk about. And the title of this episode is Deliver the Light. So Jesus never said, invite me into your heart by saying a sinner's prayer. He said, I want you to lay it all down to be set apart. And many people reject Jesus because they just don't like accountability. And when pride is Lord over your life, it will say, I know better than Jesus. And we can look at the garden at that. I don't need accountability. I don't need deliverance. I don't need to be part of the ministry of Jesus that included deliverance and healing so that people can give him glory in what they witness and experience. And I don't need to be on fire for God. I know how to do it better than God. Pride says your way is better than God's way. So when many people reject the gospel, they come up with their own gospel, and their gospel is to fill a pew. The gospel of Jesus Christ is to be a light. So as soon as we communicate our intentions verbally or by our physical actions or even by the absence of any action at all, we say, God, we don't need you. And that is the foundation of pride. We are not called to let our pride shine, but the light, the fire that isn't our own, but a reflection of the way, the truth, and the life. And pride is the absence of God on the throne. It's you on the throne calling all the shots. It has taken residence in the church, and now we get in and out as fast as possible because of our schedules. We pursue comfort as much as possible by saying, God, we don't need you in our churches because we have a bulletin. We have a schedule to respect our own time, but not the time of the Holy Spirit who wants to minister to us. His time isn't as important as what I want to do here and now. Now, followers of Jesus fasted weeks. We can't fast lunch to commune with God. They wouldn't miss the opportunity to die and be persecuted, but we actively try to avoid any discomfort whatsoever. People are so radical until someone picks up a stone. In fact, we draw the line at Sunday afternoon football. Now, I'm not sure if there will be a few that deny Christ or many in their life because many can't even deny a football game. That's why God refuses to move, because he is not welcomed in his own house. You can find the American church in the New Testament, and we find it in Corinthians 11:4. And it says, for if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Now, so many put up with false gospels because false Christs are presented from so many pulpits. And we're going to get into using the word self a lot in the next bit. They're presented with a Christ that requires no sacrifice or death to self. And instead, they are presented with a gospel that is widely accepted. That instead of dying to self and putting the old self away, we glorify self and find self and uplift self. And they pursue a spirit that only puts out good vibes. We need to stop putting up with it. And we need to stop putting up with self-indulgences. The Bible is not a self-help book because the Bible isn't about us. It's not about our glory, but about us giving glory to God. Now, where do we get glory to give to God? We can find it in good works that were predestined by God. We couldn't do the works and greater works than Jesus did that he spoke about in our own power. And that is weak compared to anything from heaven. That is why we glory in our weaknesses, because it exposes the power that can only come from God. It exposes the light of Jesus. people will try to give glory to those in obedience because people think that that individual did it. But we cannot boast in ourselves because God made it happen through us, not by us. In Ephesians 2, 8 through 11, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So we see here that it's not what we do that gets us to heaven, it's by grace. But there are things for us to do that were prepared for us so that we would do them. When we do that, it's called obedience. And to be obedient, many times we have to tell our flesh no, no to comfort. And we want the call, but we don't want the cell that comes with it, or the shipwreck, or the cross. We want the mantle of the position and the calling, but not the altar that we are supposed to be putting ourselves on as a living sacrifice. We must carry the light and let it shine, but too many cover it up. And we are called to let it shine. And this is the reason why the devil has free reign across the nation and many parts of the world, because we have kicked out the way, the truth, and the life. So we come into agreement with the enemy by letting his agenda into the schools, into our homes and our churches, the media and the government. People are attracted to lights, and we see that at Christmas. And that's why so much money and time and energy is spent on them during Christmas, because lights expel darkness. And I love that the concept of lights and the light of the world coming as a baby are so connected. And I know that I'm going to go on a little tangent here for a second. And I know the 25th isn't Jesus's birthday. I'm talking about the connection of lights for a second. People will get so bent out of shape over things that have no eternal implications, like when Jesus's birthday is. Like, my brother is adopted. My brother-in-law, he's adopted. And we celebrate the day of his finalized adoption. Is that his birthday? No, but yet he is still alive and loved and celebrated as part of the family. It's okay as long as Jesus is the one being celebrated. But of course, that should be every day. But the very ones who aren't in their prayer closet or war room, as I like to call it, or aren't in the Word to learn, but are in the Word to strengthen their arguments, are the very ones coming with the criticisms. And that is what those people are known for, is just division. Not the light of Jesus, but a light of division and pride, because they are more concerned about them being right than Jesus being lifted up. So anyway, I don't care when Jesus was born. I'm just glad the light of the world came to us. I really didn't want to get into that. I apologize. Since we are going over division and pride, let's discuss Lucifer. 2 Corinthians 11, 12 through 15 says, "But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I might cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." Notice that it says he has to transform into an angel of light. It's because he isn't an angel of light. He was, but not anymore. So he has to imitate in order to fool people. He was covered in gems and stones that reflected the light of glory, but that only worked when he was in the presence of God. He may still be covered in them, but since he isn't in the presence of God, he's void of any light and glory. That the very thing that he so desired, he has to imitate it now. He couldn't do it on his own, and look, we can't either. But too many want to be the source of that light. That's where pride comes in. So be careful not to fall into pride. Normally, you can see this in people who have to repeatedly repeat their positions, like in the fivefold ministries. We talked about people have to transform themselves into these positions. And they have to remind everyone of their authority, that they are in charge. Now, one thing I've noticed in the military after 3 deployments overseas is that when people have to use their rank to get people to do something and remind everyone who is in charge, those guys are not the ones in charge. The rank was respected, but the person was viewed as battle ineffective because when it came down to it, only the battle-hardened soldiers were trusted, not the people who thought they were ready for battle. We didn't deploy to go see other soldiers or even train other soldiers on the battlefield. We did train, but we fought the enemy more than we trained against the enemy. All that other stuff was for people that weren't on the battlefield. In my three deployments, I had about 20 people volunteer to deploy just because I was going. They weren't even in the unit, and I wasn't in charge of them. I held no authority over them. They had to transfer or re-up their contract in order to go with me. Some of them died. One of them named their kid after me. I never had to say I was in charge. They did what they were supposed to do because they knew their job. And when they do it, and someone else had a problem with it, you tell them that I told you to do it. If they have a problem with it, they can come talk to me. You walk in my authority. And many people have a problem with what we're doing, and Jesus is the one that told us to do it. So they really have a problem with Jesus. They don't have a problem with us. And I constantly reminded my soldiers of what they were capable of, even if I went down in battle. Not what they were capable of, only if I'm around. I prepared them for me to die on the battlefield so every single one of them could step up and complete the mission if I went down. I was there to create warrior leaders, not a congregation that just followed me around and did everything I told them to do. Most of the time, I didn't have to ask them to do anything because they just did it because I had trained them to do that, and I didn't have to have my hand in it. They just stepped up and did it. And my leadership trusted me so much, I was only corrected maybe once because the communication was always open, and there might have been some bad intel that I needed to make an adjustment for a mission while I was on that mission because of the bad intel. They knew I was going to complete the mission, and they let me do it in their authority. I walked in their authority. Now, that light we carry in the Christian life is a reflection of the authority that Christ gave you, not the preference of someone unwilling to get their hands dirty or their armor scuffed up. Don't listen to the criticism. Mike Signorelli said, "The voice everyone remembers is the voice that's creating, not the voice criticizing." And I love that because it's so true, because the only time you will be criticized is when you are actually doing something. There's no right way for you to do anything in their book. In fact, that's why the devil hates us, because God gave us the ability to create, and the devil can't create. He can only imitate a cheap copy of something already created. We really need to be like John the Baptist in John 1. In John 1, 6 through 9, it says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world." So this is talking about John bearing witness to Jesus. And to bear witness to the light, and then later it says in the scripture, the true light. John was not the light, and we are not the light either, but we bear witness to the light. And with the Holy Spirit now, we carry that light. And what was the light sent here to do? We find the answer in 1 John 3:8. "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." There's a lot to unpack here with many other scriptures to reference, but I just want to focus on the last part for the integrity of this episode. The Son of God, Jesus, was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. See, many of these pastors, motivational speakers, want to make you feel comfortable with your sin, motivate you to stay in it, instead of motivated to realize the authority you have been authorized to walk in. Jesus wasn't a self-help guru, but God in the flesh to tell us to die to our flesh, as he did on the cross. That's why we are told to carry our cross, because the flesh doesn't want to. The Bible isn't about self-help, but self-death, which is the death of our sinful nature. I'm not talking about self-deletion. I'm talking about our sinful nature. It needs to die in order for us to walk in holiness. And that's what happens when we walk in holiness. And that is why Jesus says we are the light. When we stand, there will be opposition, because when we stand for the freedom only Jesus can give, the enemy isn't going to want to give up his rule in any territory. And a good example of this is Moses and Aaron. Think about Moses. After Moses said, "Let my people go," Pharaoh responds to Moses by saying, "No, he's not going to do it." But after, you know, a plague or two, he says, "Okay, fine. Don't go far, though." And then next, he responds by saying, "You can be delivered, but you can't take the women and children." The devil uses his army of demonic forces to put pressure on our roles as men, women, and children. And if he can get the men to leave behind the women and children, the role of provider and protector diminishes. But the only way to do that today is to attack masculinity and call it toxic and call it other names to once again make the role of priest, provider, and protector less appealing or negative, so the next generation are less likely to step up and step into the role, leaving them as easy targets for everything anti-Bible and anti-Christ. It leaves those under his care to provide for themselves, or better yet, let the government and school system step in and raise the kids for the parents who've been taught to be complacent instead of vigilant. It leads them astray from what God has told us, like even the garden, to depend on the mouthpiece of evil. Did God really say that? So the Pharaoh says later, "Don't take the animals." And what were the animals used for? The animals were used for sacrifice and nourishment. "So leave the sacrifice for me," says Pharaoh. Moses says, "If I don't have anything to sacrifice, what's the point of being delivered? What's the point of being able to go worship God if I can't sacrifice to him?" Now, the world wants to keep the sacrifice because it wants what belongs to God. We are to give Caesar what belongs to Caesar, yes, but we are not to give to Caesar what belongs to God. So Pharaoh says, "Moses, the men can go, but I, Pharaoh, refuse to deliver the women and children." Okay, you can take everything, but you can't take what belongs to you, so you can sacrifice to God. I'll keep that. Now, it's a good thing a godly man stood his ground. It's a good thing he deployed, and even though reluctant and frustrated when a whole nation was against him, it was a good thing that he chose to Charlie Mike to continue mission. But you can only participate in the mission if you deploy. Not just stand around talking about it inside of the confines of a building. Many people in your life will try to convince you that this calling that every Christian is supposed to do, to know God and to make God known, isn't for you. But the Bible says it is. Jesus says it is. And that message will go against culture. And that is why we must deploy into the culture and other cultures as Moses did, as John the Baptist did, as all the other heroes of the Bible did, and most importantly, why Jesus took the keys and gave us the authority to walk victorious on the battlefield and not hold up in our foxhole churches, disguising passivity in the form of just playing soldier. No, he wants us to deploy and deliver the light into the culture. I hope you guys enjoyed the very first episode of the Deploy Podcast. I'll catch you on the first and third Mondays of each month. Stay dangerous. In our Christian life, we must abandon passivity if we want to fulfill the great commission that Jesus gave us. But much of the church believes that we are stuck on this earth with Satan, and they have raised their white flag of defeat to him. But if we would wave our white flag to Jesus, it would become a white flag of victory. And then we would realize that we are not stuck on this earth with Satan, but he is stuck on this earth with us, the army of God. In my book, White Flag of Victory, I discuss my time in combat and the parallels between warfare in the military and the warfare in the Christian life. If you'd like to add this to your library, you can find it on Amazon and the link in the description below. If you haven't surrendered your life to Christ and are ready to come to God, I would like to lead you in a prayer in just a moment. But first, I want to be clear. Praying a sinner's prayer is not a ticket into heaven. These are not magic words. You must follow Christ and live for him. You cannot receive salvation by your own merits, but by what Jesus has already done. As to receive the Holy Spirit, to be filled and experience what God has for you, you will not live the same life or be able to keep Jesus to yourself if you become a Christ follower. 1 John 2:4 tells us that the one who says, "I have come to know him," and does not keep his commandments is a liar. Those commandments are to love God and to love others. If you love God, you will follow him, and if you truly love others, you will want others to experience God and give their lives to him as well. So if you are ready to pray, pray this: God, I ask for forgiveness. I believe Jesus died for me, and nothing I have done wrong is too great for the power of his blood that was shed for me. I am ready to forsake the world and live a changed life because I realize how much you love me. I love you, and I'm ready to live for you. If you made the decision to surrender your life to God and follow Jesus, I encourage you to spend time daily with him in prayer and reading his word and worshiping him for who he is. Much will be revealed to you in this time with him. Be a part of a community of believers to grow in the fullness of God and his word, and join a church that does the same. Get involved and stay accountable to each other. Also, please let me know that you made this decision by emailing me at charliemike.me@gmail.com or message me on Facebook at facebook.com/charliemikeinternational.